This is the Your Vote, Your Voice Election 2020 podcast. Keep it tuned to 1030 The Voice for everything Election 2020. Local and national races, all the updates. Election 2020 lives on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Here's Dr. Randy Freese. Doctor, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join us. Thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
If we were having this conversation August 1st, 2021, what would we be talking about 1 year from today? Look ahead.
Hopefully, we'll be talking about how the vaccine is being implemented for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, how cases have gone way down, how we're back, our kids are back in school and the classrooms are safe. Hopefully, we'll talk about how this virus is in our rearview mirror and not something that we're currently dealing with.
How likely is that?
Well, you know, I think that if we do certain things smartly, if we do certain things thinking about each other and thinking about others and not just thinking about ourselves, like wearing a mask, like social distancing, like making sure that we do everything we can to slow the spread down and keep the surge from hitting our hospitals again, and then engaging in an active vaccination program when the vaccine is available, I think it's very possible.
Can we blame this at least partially on the governor opening the state too soon? So, I mean, there was no question we were headed in the right direction, and then we went completely the opposite. Somebody had to be responsible. Wasn't our chief executive the one responsible?
Well, I think, you know, he's the one issuing the executive orders. So, yeah, he's accountable for those orders. He's accountable for reversing those orders. And I do think that things were done too quickly. I'm not sure too soon is the right answer, but too quickly. We were at a good point with the initial stay-at-home order of 6 weeks where the curve had certainly come down and flattened. And I think what we did was we moved too quickly. One could argue maybe also too soon, but I certainly feel comfortable saying too quickly. We could have done things in a more stepwise fashion instead of, and we could have identified the loopholes like bars that were calling themselves restaurants and letting them open as well. We could have done mandated more capacity for restaurants and things like that, maybe outdoor dining only. I know that's a little difficult in Arizona, but it was only May at the time. So I think we could have done things a little bit more, with a little bit more restraint.
Doctor, as a member of the House of Representatives, how well prepared is Arizona to deal with the economic devastation of the coronavirus?
Well, I mean, we, as a state, in our budget, we have $1 billion in our budget stabilization fund that we can hopefully use to shore up some of the shortfall we might see in our budget that we need to give to our schools and healthcare and roads and infrastructure. My major concern, however, is how well prepared is Arizona to help the average citizen, and that we are ill prepared, right? Our unemployment assistance is second lowest in the nation at $240 a week. We still have made no changes in it, even as the pandemic assistance program is expiring on the federal level. Governor Ducey has punted again. This time he's punted the ball up to the federal government, saying he's not going to do anything about our low unemployment insurance assistance rates. He's punted several times down to the cities and towns about masks and other things with this pandemic. I think that, you know, Arizona is ill-prepared to help the average Arizona through this crisis.
It seems to me, too, as we take a look at the future, and we really don't know how this is going to end, if we can be optimistic about next year and a vaccine. But I think we're going to feel the economic pain of what has happened in 2020 for many years to come. This is the worst thing economically, and obviously lives lost and people harmed, that we've ever gone through. And at least in my lifetime, I've been around a while, and so have you. But, I mean, we're going to pay for this for a long, long time, and it's going to take a while to heal all these wounds.
I think you're right. I think there is, you know, there are generations, family businesses that have been around for generations that are suffering and possibly could fold and not come back. Certainly the new businesses that hadn't established themselves and don't have name recognition in the community or have, reliable funding sources are suffering. I think that what we have to do is as a state, be prepared through small business loan programs to complement the one the federal government was doing. And one of those proposals our caucus had on as we were passing the budget through, one of the amendments was to parallel that program with $10 million or $20 million of Arizona money for Arizona small businesses. I think that the state needs to have an eye towards what can we do to help us through this economic hardship. And I think we have to look at individuals. We have to look at small businesses. We have to look at services, healthcare, transportation, infrastructure, all these things to help us through. Remember, the more money you invest in infrastructure is creating jobs and creating opportunities. So I think, you know, we could take this opportunity to increase our broadband infrastructure.
What is your
take this opportunity? Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Doctor. What is your criteria to open schools safely? And do you see that happening now with not only everything from K through 12, but the universities across the state? And how concerned are you that we just may screw this up?
Well, I think that now is not the time for in the classroom instruction to happen. I was disappointed to see the governor insist that all Foster students through his through DCS are mandated to have in classroom instruction. I think now is not the time. I think we need more information. And again, when the time comes, when we feel it's safe, we need indicators of downtrending proportion testing positive. We're certainly beginning to see that number rolling over from a high of 23% to now, I think, 17%. Or we need that trend to be less than 10%, probably less than 5%. And then when we do reopen the schools, we need to do it in a very thoughtful way. I think a phased reopening by grade makes sense. We need to take into account the science here. It has been established that the younger children absolutely can get the virus, but they are lower transmission. The rates of transmission from younger children are lower. So maybe we should start with opening our K through five schools and having a measured effect, looking at the data, doing things and collecting data, and then making decisions based on the data. That when you throw the doors open at the beginning, then it doesn't give you time to look at the results of what you're doing, collect data, and make informed decisions.
You and I have had this political conversation for so many years, but boy, this looks like a Democratic year. You have literally, Kelly, leading, obviously, McSally for the Senate race. You've got congressional candidates in deep trouble. Swigert's in trouble because he obviously did some very bad things and got reprimanded for it and punished. So we've got some congressional people that are Republican incumbents longstanding that are in trouble. I can foresee perhaps picking up a couple of more congressional seats. I don't know how you feel about that, but also a U.S. Senate seat, and would go down, I think, all the way to the ballot to the legislature and perhaps local races being affected by what is a blue wave. And you can't suggest that it's anything else if you take a look at the numbers from the political polling that I've looked at.
Well, I do agree. I feel optimistic that we'll have a change in Arizona. And, you know, if you want a change, a great place to do that is exercise your right to vote. I think Mark Kelly would be an outstanding United States senator. I am very interested in making sure that people do vote down the ballot. We have a chance to I frequently say that the way that the state legislature has been run for years has turned its back on negotiation and compromise. It has become a badge of shame to pass a budget that doesn't have all your caucus members on it. And I think that's not the way it's supposed to be done. We should be passing budgets that reflect the values of the state, and that means it should represent Democratic values as well as Republican values. And if the Democrats are in a majority, we'll be able to take this time to take to show by example how we should be leading and making sure that we're negotiating and compromising and creating budgets and statutes and laws that are based on all of our values and not just a fraction, not just simply because we're in the majority. And we can have it our way. If we turn the screws on our own colleagues, we can always have it our way. We should be building coalitions and compromising. And that's how I intend to govern if we can have a majority in the state legislature after this election.
Well, Doctor, we're out of time, but I want to say to you that I've never been more proud to endorse a candidate for the legislature than I have been in endorsing you. You've been a great plus for all of us. And I just want to thank you for all the sacrifices you've made from your responsibilities as a trauma surgeon to now the responsibilities as a member of the House of Representatives. Thanks for serving, and thanks for running again. We really appreciate it. I know you're going to win this thing, but we want people to vote for you. What do they do? Very quickly, got about 30 seconds.
You can vote by home, vote by mail. You can go to the primary. I'd much rather people vote from home, vote by mail. If you need to know more about me, you can visit my website. It's drfreesforhouse.com. And thank you, John, for the opportunity.
Well, I'm very proud to do that, Doctor. Thanks for being with us. Great to talk with you. I'll talk with you often after the primary. And thanks for being on the show. I really, really thank you.
All right, take care.
You bet. Dr. Randy Fries, one of the most respected trauma surgeons in America, and one of the best legislators we've ever sent to Phoenix.